Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Tonight we are talking about loosening your grip and letting go. What are you clutching so tightly? Control? Perceptions? Limited beliefs? Expectations? Guilt or shame? Has your focus been less than laser because you're worried about loosening your grip and letting go? In a world full of multitasking melodramas, what a weird feeling it would be to be free. Free from the pressures of propping up the world. Free from searching for positive while absorbing, classifying, and managing negative. Free from society's expectations to look, act, or be someone who you aren't. Free from the heaviness of regret. How free would it be to just let go? Are you ready to go with the flow? Sounds easy, right? Why then do we create obstacles for ourselves? Now, I want you to imagine a river current. Beautiful, rapid, motivated. Now, let's throw in a dead log of shame, some out of control brush, unrealistic expectation boulders, and why not top it off with a powerful perception undertow? Are you getting down that thing in one piece? Doesn't sound like an enjoyable ride, does it? To go with the flow, you have to stop fighting. Loosen your grip on the things you're dragging behind you and let go. Amy Johnson, the author of The Little Book of Big Changes, tells us about the art of surrender. Surrender literally means to stop fighting. Stop fighting with yourself. Stop fighting the universe and the natural flow of things. Stop resisting and pushing against reality. Surrender. That equals complete acceptance of what is, plus faith that all is well, even without input. It's not about inaction. It's about taking action from that place of surrender. If letting go of control and surrendering not only feel better, but actually produce better results, then how do we do it? Sometimes it's as easy as noticing that you're in control mode and choosing to just let go. Consciously and deliberately shifting into surrender energy. For example, when you become aware that you're in control mode, imagine that you're in a small boat paddling upstream against that current. It's hard. It's a fight. That's what control mode feels like. When you choose to let go and surrender, you should visualize the boat turning around, dropping the oars, and floating downstream. You're being gently pulled. No effort necessary on your part. Simply breathing and saying, let go of the oars. Sometimes it's a little harder to make the shift from control to surrender. So here are a few questions that might just help. What am I afraid will happen if I let go of control? Boy, that's a big question, isn't it? That is like the magic question. What am I afraid will happen if I let go of control? When you pinpoint the fear, question its validity. Ask yourself, is it true? If you're afraid the night will be ruined if your boyfriend doesn't remember to pick up eggplant, and you've already reminded him 14 times, question that assumption. Can you really know the night will be ruined without the eggplant? And if it would be ruined by your definition, what's so bad about that? Always have a plan B. A plan B means if you don't meet your expectation, who cares? You're just going to go to plan B. Without plan B, when your expectations aren't met, you can have a meltdown. Find out whose business you're in. Ooh, have you thought about that one? Whose business are you in? Your business is the realm of things that you can directly influence. Are you there? Or Are you in someone else's business? When we're trying to control things outside of our own business, it doesn't go well. Remember your hula hoop. Your hula hoop is your nice little boundary right around you. Is it in your hula hoop or is it out of your hula hoop? It's easy to get that twisted. Consider this. Would letting go feel like freedom? It almost always would, right? Let that feeling of freedom guide you towards loosening your grip. Einstein said, "The most important decision we make is whether we believe we live in a friendly or a hostile universe." Being receptive and allowing things to happen is a skill that can be practiced and, of course, improved upon. It helps to believe in a friendly universe, one that is supporting you at every turn so that you don't have to worry yourself over the details. We can always choose to do things the easy way or the hard way. We can muscle through or we can just let go of the oars and let that current carry us downstream. If only we were free to believe in ourselves, think how far we could travel. Unfortunately, listening to others' opinions of ourselves and our performance through life has made this a pretty tough task. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. That was said by Mahatma Gandhi. Pretty profound. Have you ever thought about it that way? Well, changing minds helps us define limiting beliefs. What are they? What are limiting beliefs? Well, limiting beliefs are those which constrain us in some way. Just by believing them, we don't think, do, or say the things that they inhibit. And in doing so, we impoverish our lives. We may have beliefs about rights, duties, abilities, permissions, and so on. Limiting beliefs are often about ourselves and our self-identity. The beliefs may also be about other people and just the world in general. In any case, they sadly limit us. Think about some of your limiting beliefs. What have you adopted as fact and not challenged, and as a result, it's been a control issue. It's been a self-doubt issue. It's been a limiting issue. What about I do or I don't? We may define ourselves by what we do or do not do. You may say, you're an accountant, which means you don't do marketing and should not even think about it. And consequently, you fail to effectively sell your own services. Why does it have to be all or nothing? Can't you be an accountant which also has the ability to adequately sell themselves? Another common limiting belief is around how we judge ourselves. We think, I don't deserve, so don't expect these things because I don't deserve them. What about I can't? We often have limited self-images of what we can and cannot do. If you think you can't sing, then you'll never try. You won't even go to singing lessons to try to improve on an ability. This is the curse of I can't statements. We believe them and they become fixed, and so we don't even challenge them. If you were always told as a child you can't run fast, will you even try to run fast? I might or mustn't. We are bound by values, norms, laws, and other rules that constrain what we must and must not do. However, not all of these are mandatory, and some are distinctly limiting. If you think you must clean your house every day, then this robs you of time that you might be spending doing other more productive and fun things. What kind of routine have you gotten yourself into because you believe it's a belief that you must do it? Or what have you been avoiding because you mustn't do it? Now, they might be true and they could be factual, but unless you challenge them, you'll never know. What about I am and am not? The verb to be is quite pernicious, don't you think? As we think I am, we also think I am not or I cannot. Here's an example. You're an artist, and so you conclude that you could never be good at mathematics or manual work. I'm an artist. I'm a homemaker. I'm a mother. I am thinking assumes we cannot change. Whether you think you're intelligent or you're not intelligent, either belief may stop you from seeking to learn. I am also leads to generalizations like, I am stupid. It can mean all of me is stupid. This generalizes this act into everything I've done is stupid. Instead, you could say, I made a stupid mistake, but I'm not stupid. Be careful of generalization. If you say, it never works out, I always have problems, you generalize everything into that overarching umbrella of a limited belief. Instead, really? You can't do anything? Start challenging that, writing down what you have done. When coupled with values, we get beliefs about whether a person is right, wrong, good, or bad. It's just judgy. How about others are and will? Just as we have limiting beliefs about ourselves, we also have beliefs about other people, which can limit us in many ways. If we think others are more capable and superior, then we won't challenge them. If we see them as selfish, we may not ask them to help. We often guess what others are thinking based on our theory of mind and beliefs about them. These guesses are often wrong. We may believe they don't like us when they actually have no particular opinion at all, and maybe they even think you're pretty cool. From our guesses at their thoughts, we then deduce their likely actions, which can, of course, be completely wrong. It's surprising how many we still hold to original beliefs, and you would be shocked how many you actually have. Unless you run across them and you just say a generalized statement, you probably don't even know it's a habit of yours. So maybe as you come across those, it might trigger you to say, wait a minute, is that what I've heard or is that what I know to be fact? If not, maybe you should challenge it. How about how the world works? It can be all kinds of beliefs on how the world works, from laws of nature to property of materials. This can lead to anything from the belief that all dogs will bite to the idea that airplane travel is dangerous. Think about when you were a child and everything was new and you thought anything was possible. And then you started hearing, be careful, that's hot. Get down or you might fall. Watch that animal, it could bite. And all of a sudden, we start creating these barriers or these parameters based on what someone else said. Now, that doesn't mean to go be a snake charmer. I'm just saying that some of these are thoughts that have been given to you instead of thoughts that you've actually developed through experience. Our minds get clouded with misconceptions and convince our hearts that we are right in our feelings. In some ways, we know that line of thinking is somewhat upside down, but the what ifs keep us from truly being able to let go and walk away. What if they need me? What if they can't do it alone? What if the naysayers are right? What if I really am a failure? What if they think I'm selfish? What if no one likes the real me? Oh, the mind can be sneaky. Remember in Pretty Woman when Julia Roberts told Richard Gere, the bad stuff is easier to believe. Why do you think that is? Living Incognito says negative emotions make a part of your brain, the amygdala, work overtime. This part of your mind is the alarm that looks for the bad stuff. When something negative pops up, it stores in your memory. When something positive comes around, you notice it, but it gets shuffled away and then it's gone. Not stored in your long-term memory. Those negative events, situations, and experiences are stored away just in case your brain needs something to confirm something that happens that will put you in physical danger. This is called the negative bias. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with you because this is how your brain works by default. These thoughts make you feel miserable because your mind is always bringing up those negative events and recalling the details of them to keep you safe. This thinking can make your mind dwell on something negative over and over and over until it just beats you down to the point of feeling crappy all the time. The good stuff, those thoughts that just pass through like the wind in 1 second and out the next, where are those? What does it take to be classified as a good day in your book? Easy morning, traffic was non-existent, got a great parking space, work was easy, hitting targets, getting noticed, great lunch, good conversation, children behaved, homework was easy, bedtime was a breeze, and I fell right to sleep. Doesn't that sound delightful? Let's say you have a hiccup in the perfect schedule of events. Just throw a wrench in any one of them, like I overslept, we were out of coffee, traffic due to construction, best parking spots were taken, I had some challenging projects, the boss was disappointed, lunch was subpar, the water cooler was a bunch of negative Nellies, children were defiant, homework felt like college level, no one wanted to go to bed but me, I tossed and turned most of the night. How would you describe your day if even one of those things happened? Challenging? Horrible? A complete mess? My point is, one negative event gets all the power and always trumps the good. Unless you make an intentional effort to notice, clarify, and quantify. So first of all, notice what actually happened. Now, stick to the facts here. No embellishing. You hit a challenging event. What actually happened? Number two, clarify. How big a deal was this negative event? Gotta be honest here. An annoyance? Costly? Harmful? Dangerous? We can tend to have the sky is falling type mentality for anything that presents a challenge, right? Complete meltdown. I don't know why that is. Then you want to quantify. If you listed all the events of your day, how much good can you list that will outweigh the bad? Don't give one bad event the power to crush the good. Notice, clarify, quantify. Let's keep it all in perspective. Now let's change our thinking for a minute. What if the whole world isn't against you? What if you're being propelled through the bad with all the good? What if opportunities keep presenting themselves because you are meant to succeed? What if your challenges and the way you've overcome them have been an inspiration to someone else? Are we starting to see that freedom is possible? Yeah, I'm free, but no buts allowed in a freedom speech. If you were about to attach a condition to your butt, just back away. You aren't free yet. We need to unpack some more things, purging the bad to find the good. What about shame and guilt? Is that something you're hanging on to? Running toward freedom with a tight grip on shame and guilt is like trying to sprint in the sand. Mark and Angel are authors of 1,000 Little Things Happy and Successful People Do Differently. And they remind us that guilt is the price we pay when our behavior violates one of our learned ideals and beliefs. The symptoms range from minor emotional discomfort to substantial feelings of self-doubt and despair. Excess guilt is one of the heaviest and unhealthiest weights a person can hold. It's like strapping on an extra 100-plus pounds to your forehead and trying to go about your day. Fortunately, just as a change in how you approach your body can help shed some extra weight, like eating healthy or exercising, a change in how you approach your thoughts can help you shed excess guilt. If you feel like you're carrying around excess guilt right now, Here are some simple reminders to help you let go and ease your mind. Number one, a guilty, suffering spirit is far more open to love and grace than an uncaring or smug soul. So, in a backward way, it's good news if you're feeling like you've done wrong. It means you actually care to be better than you have been. And starting now, you can be. Number two, guilt is not a response to other people's sadness or anger. It's a response to your own actions or lack thereof. And it can be positive. If guilt leads to change, then it can be useful, since it's then no longer just guilt, but the beginning of knowledge and growth. That's the key, channeling your initial feelings of guilt into positive action. Let the way you feel change the way you live. Number three, there's no reason to feel perpetually guilty for making a sincere mistake. To make a mistake is to be human. Mistakes are part of life. Everyone makes them, and everyone feels a little guilty sometimes. But, and this is the big but, some people learn from their mistakes, and some end up making the same one over and over. It's up to you to decide if you'll learn from your mistakes and use them to your advantage. Number four, if you feel guilty about something you did or didn't do, don't be ashamed to apologize. An apology may seem like a sign of weakness, but having the courage to go up to someone and say, "I am sorry," is great strength. Number five, we're all a little selfish sometimes. It's human nature. A selfish person can still love someone else, can't they? Even when they've hurt them and let them down, the answer is yes, as long as the lesson is learned and it's not deliberately repeated. Number six, every one of us is guilty in some way for all the good we didn't do, the kind words never spoken, and the good deeds left undone. We can't change that now. The past is behind us. But we can still make the best use of today and every day going forward. Yes, perhaps there's a lot more we could do and a lot more we could have done. But we just have to let the guilt remind us to do better next time. Let's go to number seven. Some people like passing guilt and blame onto others. Beware of this. It's strange the way someone who wants to play the blame game and find you guilty can pass judgments, tell stories, and actually make you believe in your own guilt, even when you know you're innocent. Beware of this. This phenomenon is dangerous, and don't condemn yourself just to satisfy someone else's drama. Number eight, if you decide to make positive changes, let it be out of generosity and respect for yourself and others, not because you fear guilt or retribution in any way. Number nine, when you think everyone is looking at you, it's usually just you looking at yourself. Understand this. Understand that the fear of judgment is the mark of excessive guilt and burden of insecurity. It's all in your head, right? People aren't necessarily judging you in the way that you're judging yourself. Number 10, if someone says they hate you, whatever the reason, everything they say about you after that is more or less meaningless. You know why? Because hate is irrational. When hatred judges, the verdict is always guilty. The same is true when we hate ourselves for something that we did. We can't possibly vindicate ourselves and grow from the experience if we hate ourselves. The bottom line is that we may feel guilty, give reasons, and even have excuses, but in the end, it's an act of cowardice to not give yourself another chance. It's time to show yourself some love and some respect. Number 11, if you can't reconcile things with yourself and you don't feel ready to talk it out with someone else, write it down. Write your heart out. So often when we're feeling guilty, we're in a state of denial. We've denied, trivialized, distorted our own experiences and feelings. Writing is an important path for healing because it gives you the opportunity to sort out your thoughts and define your own reality. You can say, "This did happen to me. It was bad. It was terrible. It was a terrible mistake, but I've grown from it. I was, and am worthy of my own love and forgiveness. Number 12, you may have lots of moments that aren't too bad, and yet they're always something you're struggling with or feel guilty about. You may just assume you need to try harder, but you find it difficult to sustain that level of effort. If that sounds at all familiar, it's time to let go of control, at least a little bit. It's time to stop feeling guilty about not being able to control the uncontrollable. Now, I know I ended on control, but an emerging theme here is control and your lack of. You can't control another person. Let's say that again. You can't control another person. We all have choices, and right or wrong, we will all make them. And no matter what you do, life goes on. You can't control past events. Say it again. You can't control past events. Sometimes we get hurt, and sometimes we hurt others. Since the past is just that, past tense, no matter what we do, all we can do is learn from the mistake, because life goes on. You can't control someone else's expectations of you. All you can do is the best you can do. And guess what? Life goes on. What would happen if none of that mattered? If it was just you living your best life? Sounds pretty glorious, huh? Just living your best life. Well, guess what? There's actually a website called livingmybestlife.com. Seriously, you can find anything on the web. But they give us the right recipe for living your best life. Number one, strength. Being your best self often means doing things that are difficult and challenging. It is much easier to sit on a couch than to run a marathon. Breaking bad habits and creating good habits takes discipline and strength of character. You can build strength of character by challenging yourself and doing things that others might consider difficult. You can then use that strength to make more positive changes in your life. Courage. It takes courage to create a life you desire. As you explore and honor what you ultimately want for yourself, you might find that that means breaking some old habits and making some life changes. Those changes may include walking away from friendships and other relationships that no longer support your growth and your goals. Friends and families may resist some of these changes. Oftentimes, the people that don't support you are the same ones that make little effort in their own lives. So they would prefer that others remain stuck along with them. You know, misery loves company. It takes courage and strength of character to not care what people think and to create the life you want, even if others are judging your actions. Self-respect. Living your best life begins with appreciating the fact that you are alive. Realizing that life is a gift and every single day is a blessing is the foundation on which to build the life you desire. Appreciating life means respecting yourself. Choosing actions that nurture self-respect also builds confidence, and confidence is vital to achieving your goals. Organization. Being the best you can be also takes some organization. Setting goals and living a balanced life is much easier when you take the time to plan things out and write them down. From daily lists to a five-year plan, getting organized has a magical impact on your ability to achieve your goals. Now, where you lack control, you do possess power, the power to make real changes in your life and real changes in the life of those around you. Doing the work to free yourself from the things that have you trapped will fuel your power over the positive. Now, once unencumbered, you have the power to change your perception. You can see the positive first. You can challenge limiting beliefs and test your abilities. You can rewrite your ending. You can choose to believe in your strengths while embracing your weaknesses. You have the power to forgive yourself. You can revisit your failures looking for the lessons. You can give yourself permission to move on. You can use your experiences to help others overcome challenges, you can be kind to yourself. You have the power to impact others in a positive way. You can choose to send out positive energy, letting go of negativity. You can encourage someone without even knowing their story. You can help others see the blessings over the challenges. You have the power to live your best life. You can start giving priority to your wants, needs, and desires. You can explore new territory, meeting new people, and learning new things. You can start putting yourself first. You can. Thank you for joining me tonight and listening to Loosening Your Grip and Letting Go. We have been finding strategies for freedom. You know, sometimes we hold on so tightly to things that really don't serve us. And we really don't know why. We don't know why we're carrying around all this baggage that just keeps weighing us down. It's time to challenge it. Really unpack these things. Start looking at them. Don't do it just because it's what you've always done. Start really letting go, loosening your grip. You know, we talked about control and the lack of control that we actually possess. So many times we think that, you know, someone really needs us. We've got to be involved in this particular situation because it won't turn out right if we aren't. You ever stopped and really thought about that? We're all adults, right? Well, not everybody's an adult, but you get what I'm saying. We were all born. We go through this life. We all have choices. We all make choices. We have challenges. We overcome. We all are meant to sort of do that. Yes, with support from others, but not with control from others. So where you think you might be nurturing, caretaking, helping, you might actually be controlling, which in turn is controlling your life. So when you think, you know, I'm there for everyone, I always do this, I'm always the one that makes all the decisions, I'm always the one, really step back and take a look at that. Is that something you're being asked to do? Or is that something you're volunteering to do because you feel the sense of responsibility? Really important. I loved the way of talking about the stream, the current, and just being able to go with the flow. Wow, such a freeing feeling. But we know all the obstacles that we put in the place, this crazy schedule that we've developed for ourselves. How can we remove all those different things? Remember the dead log of shame, the out of control brush, the unrealistic expectation boulders, and the powerful perception undertow? Boy, that makes that nice float ride really complicated, right? So how can we surrender? Really let go and just let life happen. You deserve it too. It's all for you. It's not to get you out of everyone else's business. It's to give you the power back to control your own life, right? Your own destiny. What are you afraid of if you let go? What are you afraid of? What will happen? Really question that. Go through all the pros and cons and be realistic. You know, everyone needs a chance to experience life. And the only way we build resilience is to overcome challenge. So if you're always jumping in and saving the day where you might feel, you know, special for doing that, you're really doing more harm than good for the other person. You're not allowing them to grow into the person they're meant to be. So think about it from a different point of view. You know, we talked about limiting beliefs. All of those things we pick up along the way, things that we heard at a critical age in our life, or things that we might have adopted as a result of a particular challenging moment. But we've grown. Your life is all about evolving, and you're growing as a human being. And so you might be able to look at life differently. You may be stronger than you think. You may be smarter than you imagined. So if you don't go back and challenge these beliefs, you're just going to carry them around like that extra 100-plus pounds of limited beliefs. be careful of overgeneralization. And a lot of times it just becomes part of your natural speech. So it may be one of those moments you activate a different part of your brain and you catch yourself. You say it just as a knee jerk. And then you're like, wait a minute. I don't really believe that. I know that not to be true. But some of those things are ingrained. So you really have to test yourself. You know, we talked about trying to maintain the positive, like really allowing the positive to overshadow the negative. Why that happens? One hiccup in the middle of the day and we go off course. You know, we're going down a nice sunny drive, one little challenge and we're off in a ditch. And then we're not able to correct it and get back on. So stop yourself. When that happens, stop yourself. Write down and notice all the awesome things. Also, make sure that you notice, clarify, and quantify. That gives you time to really respond instead of a knee-jerk meltdown. Notice what actually happened. Clarify, how big of a deal is it really? Is the sky falling? And then quantify, out of everything that happened today, really, how much weight does that deserve? We talked about letting go of shame and guilt, which is just a huge thing. Shame and guilt are those things that we don't necessarily talk about. You know, you may talk to a friend about needing to lose a couple of pounds or to quit smoking or whatever it is, but we don't normally share a lot about shame and guilt. So it's one of those things that we just carry around in secret, and that can be very damaging to your health. We need to unpack that, work through it, and just remember, put things in perspective. Everyone makes mistakes, and it's in the past. And if you don't have the control to go back in time and change it and right the wrong, then you have to find a way to let it go and move on. And you can do that by understanding you're human. Be kind to yourself. Find the positive in there. Find a way to take that mistake, learn from the lesson, and impact your life and those around you. If you can do that, you've benefited from that mistake, right? We talked about living your best life. Doesn't that sound great? Just glorious. Being able to be free enough to live your best life with courage, self-respect, strength, and organization. You can do it. You can live your best life. So I challenge you, accept your lack of control, embrace the power you possess to challenge, change, and let go. Allow your mind to float unencumbered and take you to places only you can go when you're free to live your best life. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Summer through until the past was changed.